The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So, oikos, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, oikos, the house of God. So, we've covered a lot of ground, right? And I don't know how much I can help you every time with this recap thing. Don't miss any day. Because there's no way I can do it. If I want to do a recap of day one till now, we'll just round up with the recap at day five. Can you see now? So, oikos, we are the house of God. Glory to God. Oikos is the Greek word that means household. And what we're teaching in this series is that we are the house of God. You know Zoe is coming. And we're going to have a lot of t-shirts. And Zoe, one of those t-shirts we carry oikos. Glory to God. So maybe you should plan to get one. Glory to God. So we are the house of God. God lives in us. And we live in God. God lives in us. And we live in God. And we've been looking so far about the fact that there is angelic ministry wherever God is. So because God lives in us, angels are around us, angels are attending to us. I'm happy that many of us are beginning to come to this reality. But I'm hoping that it takes hold of you stronger. That you are not alone. And I can tell you, there's been a lot of testimonies about angelic ministry this period. But you know why it's happening? It's not because there were more angels actually to work for you now that I started teaching. It is because by this teaching, you become more aware of what is happening around you. Because again, your progress with God starts with revelation. Philemon 1 verse 6, that the communication of thy faith be made effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So there are many good things in you in Christ. But then, it will become more effectual when you acknowledge them. That's when you come to the realization of them. You know what it means is that there are many things you have, but until you come to the actualization, the realization that these things are in you, they will not work. You will not enjoy them to the fullest. Just like you have money in the bank, but if you've not gotten an alert, and that means you're not aware that there is money in your account, you might still be begging all over the place. Whereas there's money in your account. That's how it is. Angels are working for you. But because we do not really know, or we've heard these things, but it has not taken hold of our hearts as revelation, we will keep struggling. Notice in the past few days, you will become a little more aware. Has that happened to you right yet? A little more aware that, okay, I'm not alone. I don't walk around alone. If I want to close this deal, I'm not just alone doing this. That consciousness is it can change everything. It can change how you approach life. That there is an innumerable company of angels at my disposal. Amen. You know, when Henry said some of this, I say, Henry said, they said they were going to kill me there, and I went in there. This is one thing that is in my mind. I cannot come into a place with a host of over 80,000 beings, and you take me out. It's not possible. It's just here. You get the point? All I just is to engage them. So when you see people who are not afraid, because boldness is not bold face. Boldness is a product of knowledge. There is something you will know. If you know what some people do, you know why they're not afraid of anything. It's not bold face. But someone says, oh well, nothing can kill me. I hope you are saying that from a place of revelation. Or you are just bragging. Say, nothing can kill me. As you're looking at me, something will kill you. But when people say that with revelation, they know what they've heard. They tell you nothing can kill them. Take it from them, nothing can kill them. That knowledge, not just knowledge, because knowledge is one thing, but when that knowledge takes out of your heart as revelation, you cannot begin to apply it. When you apply the knowledge you have, for instance, about the ministry of angels, your life will change. Yeah, your life will change. Security will become guaranteed. Glory to God. There are some testimonies that if I begin to share with you here that we heard growing up. And these are not testimonies from people you can doubt. People that you know they have nothing to prove. A man shared with us a story of how they were driving, their car already fell off a cliff and was going down. He spoke, the car turned back to that bridge. I don't doubt such things, because that is angelic ministry. He shall give his angels charge over you to bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So what happened in that incident? The car was falling. An angel brought the car back to the bridge. And he said, you know, the Bible have a saying now. You know, when just one person that saw something, you can doubt it. But there were two in that vehicle. There were two. And the guy that was in the vehicle, he's always the one who tells the story. The thing turned back. Now, that is to show you, God can go out of his way. He said, when the thing began off, when they knew they were going to fall off, he said, what came to his mind immediately is, you are going to be fine. But this car is going to be destroyed. He said, he heard that. But then, in split of seconds, that vehicle was not his. At the time, he was a traveling secretary under Scripture Union. So that was the Scripture Union boss that he just got a few months ago. So when he just got that, the car will be destroyed, but then you will survive. He said, he just remembered how the car, he said, no. In the name of Jesus, just spoke, was that car turned back? Car sound, human being sound. And that is angelic ministry. They can go out of their way to bring you to safety. So when you hear that they shot people, they didn't enter, don't say it's a lie. It can happen. Angels are still working. Angels have been given charge over you. Giving charge over you. So we're looking at all of that yesterday. Let me see if I can say a few more things about the ministry of angels before we go fully into engaging this ministry. Now, angels also play a role in provision. Provision. Give me 1 Kings 19 verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came, said, go back to verse 5, verse 4, and all of that. And as he lay and slept on the journey battery, this was Elijah. Elijah was tired. He was complaining. And then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Okay, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink. So Elijah was tired, and an angel brought food to him. Go to verse 5. You know, when I was studying on God's provision, this was one point that I got to, and I was really blessed, because I stayed here, put up like an NLT. I studied with every situation I could study, because I was trying to check, was this a dream? I get what I'm saying. I had to check, was it that he was having seen a vision? But eventually it wasn't a dream. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. And as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Say amen. So you see angelic presence in provision. They provided food. Your heart has to expand. Give me another translation of verse 5. We are trying to find out, was it a dream? As he lay under the broom or juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a bottle of water at his head. Go to verse 5. Give me a message. Message. Another thing away. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Suddenly, an angel shook him awake and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head were a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal and went back to sleep. So it was not a dream. Amen. So, can an angel still bring food for you in your room? Amen. I believe God. Oh. I believe God. How do you think Jesus was doing ministry and bread and fish were multiplying? If your mind can carry the extent of God's provision, then you should never be broke in your life. There are angels that play a role in making sure that things are abundant. Now, this is just one of the ways they brought it to Elijah. There are many other things they can do. They can cause people to come and buy from you. I get what I'm talking about. That's what most of our minds can carry. They can cause people to give you things. But all there is there are angels that play a role in providing things, material things. Of course, Elijah ate that food. In verse 7, stay with message. Let's see. Verse 7, that's the next verse. The angel of God came back, shook him awake again and said, get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you. Not so that people talk rubbish because they're hungry. But angels can actually feed. And don't think this is just Bible days. That is one mistake many people make while they meet God in their mind. Because they feel this is just Bible. It's in those days. And I heard people argue about that. This last I am a chosen trend that came. People say, oh, those things happen. It's just Bible. It can't happen now. That is the problem you have. Because you believe it can't happen, that's why it's not happening for you. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me, friends? Go to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. Because if it just happened once, we would have said, oh, well, maybe it was a coincidence. 2 Kings 7, is it? 2 Kings, yes. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 7 from verse 1. Are you ready? Then Elisha said, now the other one was Elijah. Here is now Elisha. Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time. You know, I showed you this story. How? Now, because I brought up this story to show you something. Remember, in Elijah's case, an angel brought food. In this case, Elisha gave a prophetic word that there was going to be plenty, there was going to be abundance. And an angel made the Syrians flee from their camp. Remember, I showed you that the other time. Because they heard the footsteps of a host. So they felt, oh well, these guys have gone to mobilize people to fight us. So they ran away. And they ran away with plenty food in their camp. The lepers entered there and began to carry food. And now ran into the community village to tell people, there is some food. And they came to pack. There was so much food. It was still angelic assistance in provision. So in one case, we see them bring food. In another case, they had to find a way for the food to be available. So they can tell people to patronize your business. Don't do business without angelic assistance. Don't do it. Amen. One of the things that I learned following Brother Hagin's ministry is what I'm telling you. Let me say something to you. Whenever you see people prosper, hear what I'm going to say very well. Whenever you see people prosper, don't fight them. Find out what they... I'm not talking about prosperity by people doing diabolic things or doing dubious things. No. Genuine prosperity. Find out what they know. And begin to learn what they do. Let me give you an example. You see a pastor. Let me use pastors now. He's driving a very massive car. Lives in a very big house. He has money. He says, ah! Money that this pastor didn't know. Yet, you see another pastor who has the same congregation. He doesn't have as much. I agree what I'm saying. I've been a pastor or a leader, some of you know, over then who had CYF. If you guys know, I don't even think that church now, even with where we are now, has hit the number CYF had. I'm not joking. Some of you know what I'm saying, right? Across states, I had people. Sometimes in Sunday service here. Sometimes CYF 133. No jokes. So, but then I was very broke. Very, very. From Brooklyn. And those were not wicked people. I was just broke. What I'm trying to tell you is that no matter what you think, you say, it's not about being a pastor. If people have not learned how to engage God for finance and prosperity, you will still be broke. Members can be 1 million in your church, you will still be hungry. I get to the point. You will still be hungry. Now, learn this thing I'm telling you. So as a pastor, you know, you just say, that pastor have money. I saw the members just, this one has 10 million. Let me tell you, rich people don't give. Have you observed? Rich people, they don't give. They don't give. Go ask any pastor. They will tell you, come into their church. They will ask you, the people that are bringing the funds are not even all these people that have money. Don't think once I have a church, once I have a church, I have any rich people. I'm going to be rich. It's not true. You as a person, as a minister, must learn how to engage faith for your own finances. It is angels that will even cause people to give you whatever they are giving to you. If you have to engage, I know what I'm talking about. I learned this from Brother Hagin, though, actually. Brother Hagin said, those days, I've told you guys the story many times, when they, how they do ministries, if they invite you, you might come to a church now, maybe to come and do a 3 weeks program, 30 days program, as a guest minister. They will not give you any honorarium. But they will, at the end of every service, the pastor will come up and say, if you are blessed by brother this ministry, please come up and give him an offering. Do you understand the point? And people will come and give whatever they want. That's what you go home with. But Eki said, normally the pastor will be there speaking and telling people, were you not blessed by this message? Come and support. If you don't give. So what he would do is, before the meeting, he will pray. I'm telling you how. So I'll get to that very shortly. He will pray. Tell God what he wants. Speak over it. Declare. Even fix God. This is what we want to get. He will now go tell the pastor. Don't ever encourage people to give. Once you just say, if you want to come and give, don't say any more word. He said he still needs to be sure that nobody was being manipulated or forced to do anything. I get what I'm saying. And he said, every time, so in one of the occasions, only two people came for God. It is only two people came for the meeting. And then he, before the meeting, was declaring that I was going to get, was it $50 or so? Only two people. And the pastor can say, if we are blessed, he still got that $50. The pastor told him, in the history of their church, they've never had an offering close to that. I get what I'm talking about. So how come they respond when he shows up? The man prays, because you look, go and check some of his books. He will pray prayers like, Satan, take care of my finances, and just go and cause the finance to come in. All the kind of prayer. So when they're saying give, it's not angels that will come and tell you, I'm still trying to show you. Bring it to your business. If you like, be shouting on social media. You can be shouting, nobody's hearing you. If you see people prosper, find out what they know. There is angelic involvement in prosperity. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Big time. And I've experienced it. I always share this story with you guys. You know, at least most of you are here when we're getting married. It was one of the things I told my wife, seated, I said, for the first time, the only people that will know about this very wedding will be people that are close by. He said, others will get to know like 2 or 3 weeks before. He said, I told her we are trusting God for provision. But we want to make sure nobody is going to say, pastor is getting married though. Let's gather money and send him. So we just had it between us and began to pray and declare. Many people will just say, the Lord said, I should send you this. The Lord said, I'm talking about money in six figures. The Lord said, I should send you this. And we spoke to, you were here and I was waiting like 2 weeks before or so. 2 or 3 weeks before. And the plan was, we wanted to be sure that nobody, because I said, I want to show you how these things work. That's how it works. You bring a product, know how to engage angelic beings around that product. People can come from far to come and buy from you. I get what I'm saying. People can come from far to come and patronize, fighting over the stuff, fighting over the property, fighting over the contract. We are not without help. We are never without help. I get what I'm saying. So that angelic ministry has to do with prosperity. What has to do with things? Amen. I say I can be, some of you need to begin. I can be praying and the Lord will say to me, Somebody is going to do this for you. And sometimes I'll just say that to my wife. The Lord says somebody is going to do this for us. I'll begin to pray over it. But the last one, I prayed over it. That one, I was never married to her. I didn't tell her anything. Last year, God told me somebody, I declared over it. And then when I was done, I got the victory. And I knew. And somehow, you don't discuss with people. God go tell people. Now, I'm talking like this because I'm a pastor. You know what I'm saying? You're a business person. That's not the thing you should get an item in your shop. It stays there for 14 years and expires. And you've not sold it. Now, I changed on their mentor then. You know, the man was brutal. One of his members had one big property like that in millions. One big stuff he got and it was not selling. So he came and complained to the pastor. The pastor told him, well, I'll show you how it is done. But because you've been my member for a very long time and you've refused to learn, we're going to enter an agreement. If we sell this thing, I'll take a percentage. He said, sir, anything. He said, I'll do it to teach you a lesson. Took him to the place, put hands in the name of Jesus. We gave deadline. For that deadline, three people were fighting over that stuff. And he says, yeah, pastor, is that how it works? He said, it's the same thing you would have done. There are beings that are here to serve you in this business. I get what I'm saying. So he told him, just to show you that you are not learning my percentage. Of course, he left it for him. But he just did that to show him that actually, you should be learning, you should be growing. You are not created to be dependent on pastor, do this for me, pastor. Learn how to, you are a Christian. You are not God's grandchild, you are God's child. Yeah? You are not God's grandchild, you are not God's servant. And even if you are a grandchild, they do better for grandchildren. Have you not observed? You know, parents just become calm when they have grandchildren. A man will beat you, black. Once you have grandchildren, you want to touch your children. He said, don't touch those kids from me. And my man, I'm like, come on. We know what is on your hands. Let's not go there. Glory to God. I'm God's child. And then just work for me. So you notice, manna came down from heaven. Manna came down from heaven. In the wilderness. And when the book of Psalms was going to give that narrative in Psalm 78 verse 24, he said, I had rained down manna for them to eat. I had given them of the corn of heaven. Verse 25, he says, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. So it tells you it was angels that brought down those things. So how come the people, when they come and they see manna scattered all over the place, they were jelly beans supplying every day? Supplying every day. I get what I'm saying. What I'm showing you can help your finance and turn it forever. Well, it's a mess. I can never be broke. They know what I'm saying. They know what I'm saying. Glory to God. So you must learn. And to show you, not just provision now, because I want to round off this something now, every form of assistance you need in the natural, angels can play a role. That's what I'm trying to say. Every form of assistance you need. Again, remember I said, you really don't have to see angels come out to say, well, let's go and do this. But there are spirit beings. And they can walk around these things. They can walk around these things. I have a couple of books I've read on angels. You know, I've mentioned one already for you the other time. Angels on Assignment, remember? There are other books, or Robert has also a book on angels, a lot of them. And you will see that there is really a lot more that these spiritual beings can do. They can assist. They can assist. Remember, they are ministering spirits. A ministry is a servant. They are servant spirits. Spirits that serve. I already showed you how they can even help you in ministry. They can help you in evangelism. They can help you in publicity. They can go and tell people about your church. About your meeting. And I do this every time we're having programs. So I trust God that the angels will get into the city. I get what I'm saying. And do things. So you notice provision is possible because there are angelic beings that can work that. Again, remember, you don't pray to angels, right? You don't say, oh, angel, I need. I'm saying as you begin to pray to God and do everything I'm going to show you this evening, you are activating those angels to get to work and bring things to come. Some of you are wondering how Pastor Henry prospers. This is what I'm showing you. Sometimes it can even be that, remember I told you, the angels are messengers. They can come around, maybe come to that and say, Mr. Kambechi, in your business, you will hear it in your spirit. Sometimes you will not hear it. Sometimes they can make you stumble on a document. That's why when you begin to prove your business, you begin to get some instructions. That is still angelic ministry towards you. Go and take an extra course. Go and do this. Publicize them more. Do whatever. That is angelic ministry because they are servants. They are messengers. Remember I said that 2 days ago. They are messengers. They tell you how to make your business work. So when I mean provision, I'm not just saying they will bring food for you. I just have to use that food on to show you that they can go to the extreme. I feel I'm talking about friends. They can go, they can bring, say, oh, you want your business to prosper. Why not do this? Why not talk to this person? Why not do that? Why? They can do all of that. So some of you, as you are praying for your business and your finance, those ideas, those instructions dropping in your spirit is still angelic ministry towards you over your finance. See, if you yield to them, you are going to let those angels walk because they are actually walking already. So you are not without help. Are you still here? So every form of assistance, you should expect that. Every form of assistance. Every form of assistance. You know, what I've observed is people that experience a lot of angelic ministry in provision are students. Because students are always very broke. So if you can remember how, when you were in school, do you remember some dramatic provisions that happened for you in school? Students are always very broke. It's not a bad thing, it's just a level in their life, students. Especially towards exam period. And if you're a student and you find yourself in that kind of situation, that's the time to begin to practice how faith works. Don't be part of people. Till today, I buy fuel and I tell my fuel in my car, this fuel, you will carry me till next week. I'm not joking. Because I don't understand what people are doing in this fuel. Till next week, you will carry me. Glory to God. So people say this like, I bought gas. The car stayed. You can tell your gas to stay longer. The reason you are doubting is because, well, maybe you have money to buy more. But students don't really have any. So those days in school, we release it for many things. Yes. Gas, the name of Jesus, you will not finish. You will stay. Yes, there's nothing we did not do. Hunger can make you invent many things. You will stay. You will not finish. Oh, Gary, you will stay till the end of this semester. Oh, this Gary, you are going to stay for me. And all of those things, well, small things you are doing, they are helping today with provision. They are helping in many ways. I told you of the days we'll be having camp meetings, and they will come and tell me, food is not enough. We have put food on the fire, but because normally they put food on fire, and then they send somebody to go and count how many people in the program. So they are cooking for 150 people, you come and count, you see. Sometimes 230. So you just come and tell me, sir, food is not enough. You know, there was one day, I started doing this and I'm telling you, after one day, should I tell you this story? We're having program. And indeed, they made moi that night. I can't forget. And somehow that day, I don't know who announced to everybody that we're having program that night. People we've not seen, the crowd we've ever seen. So the moment was barely enough. So everybody managed to eat. But the leaders, we didn't eat anything. I remember that they took them into one small office and we bought a carton of Baker. You know Baker's biscuits? Some of them are here. Yeah, some of you are here. Hi! And we've not eaten throughout the day. And I said to minister that night in the power of the Holy Ghost, we ate Baker's like mad. One wrap, two wraps. After that night, I went, the Lord said to me, if this thing keeps happening, it will stop coming. So, that was, I just found out that you can actually go on to pray. So from that day, every time they say, oh, food is not enough, I'll just come and say, don't worry, everything is going to be enough. And we never had to eat breakfast again. Glory to God. Glory. But for real. Because, I found out how it works. Once we have what we trust God for provision, whatever that is available, we speak to it to be enough. and it works. Instead of it not to be enough, God will provide more money to buy more. End point is that it works. So I've engaged a lot in ministry to know that. That's something that if you're having events, you're having Thanksgiving, I have all of this. Never cook food and say it's not enough. Increase it, multiply it. I got what I'm saying? When you are cooking in the kitchen, they call you in church now. There are over 500 people. I guess I'm just cooking 2 coolers of rice. Begin to speak to the cooler. You will be enough in Jesus' name. Don't ask me how it's going to happen. Remember what I taught you about how Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish? When he prayed, the thing did not multiply. But remember I showed you, as he kept giving them, it kept increasing. That can happen in your own case. Amen. What on earth will it take God to multiply? Glory to God. So angels are working for your provision. So in other words, that's why I believe that believers should not actually be broke. Because there are angels that supervise to make sure that you do not go hungry. Except you don't know how to cooperate with them. All I'm saying is that you might be hungry now. But if you learn what I'm talking about, in a matter of months, you should no longer be hungry. And I tell you what, God will come through for you. You better believe it. But God will come through. And you know, I'm sharing some sort of testimonies. But you know what I found? That meet any believer, the billionaires, the trillionaires, meet all of them, they still have their own massive testimonies about how angels played roles, how God played roles in helping them sustain at that level. And I was listening to this man. I've spoken about him a few times. Dr. Cosmas Madoka, you know him? Coscaris and all of that. He was talking about how he sold a certain one share. He had shares like that. You go look for that testimony online. At the time, nobody was buying shares. But he prayed and he told them he was going to sell these shares at, I think he put it at a ridiculous price, 3 naira or 4 naira. They thought nobody was going to buy this. But he kept praying. He told his assistant, you will see when we're going to sell this. He then eventually told about 3 people were fighting over it. He kept increasing it to 5 naira, 6 naira, 7. He kept increasing it. The other one said, I now want to buy. He said, somebody else is calling me. Okay, you're a businessman. If it is you, will not increase the price. He was telling the guy said, okay, let me now buy for 7 naira. And all because this is a share they said nobody was ever going to buy. So I'm talking about this at the level of feeling gas doing this. But when you begin to swim in big, deeper waters, you still need God's assistance at that level. I get what I'm talking about. That's why there are angelic beings that are there to ensure that you don't go down. How do we engage angelic ministry? Let me just go back to where we were yesterday. I've already showed you words. Okay, angels respond to words. Daniel 10 verse 12. The angel said to Daniel, I am come for your words. This is why you must learn to talk. You must learn to talk in prayers. You must learn to talk, even to make confessions. You must learn to talk. If you are not talking and saying what you must say at every time, you are actually hindering angelic activity. Let me show you. You see, there are a few things that hinders angelic activity. A few things. I'll give you an example. Silence and passivity is one. When you are silent over any matter, you are actually saying no angel should walk here. They respond to words. They respond to sounds. So when you are silent, something is going on, you say, well, all I know is that I'll just be here and be looking at God. God will be looking at you too. Amen. Don't do all this. Don't look at God. If you are silent and you are passive over any matter, you hinder angelic ministry. Because what you are saying by saying silent is, I don't want you guys to act. Always imagine what I'm saying as there are people around you ready to attend to you. They want to hear what you say so they can act. You don't get into a restaurant and you want to eat and they come to you and say, what do you want? You're just looking at them. Remember I taught you on, remember that message? May I have your orders, please? That's what it looks like in the spirit. Angels are saying, may I have your orders? Of course, you don't talk to them, you talk to God. But if you're just silent over any matter, if you don't pray over any matter, you don't say anything over any matter, you're just passive, you're actually going to have no results. Because you are giving them nothing to work on or to work with. That's why no Christian should be passive over any situation. Are you guys following what I'm saying? Don't be passive, don't be silent. I said it again yesterday. You see, the devil has no answer to the believer's resistance. The devil is only banking on one thing, that you will not pray, or that you stop praying. Because he knows that once you pray and keep praying, he has no other answer to the resistance. So that's why when you're praying, he's telling you things like, it's not working. You've been praying for 3 months, nothing is working. You know, all he's trying to do, to see if you can stop. Because he knows that once your tongue is moving, and you're saying what you must say, angels are working at that instant. So silence and passivity is one way. So you see, things might be going wrong in your home and your family because you are quiet. Because you're quiet. So there is silence and passivity. Another thing that can make angels not work, for instance, is when you're speaking the negative words, saying negative things. Thought words of fear, words of defeat. So 103 verse 20 tells us, bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. So angels don't just respond to any sound. They respond to the word of God. And God's word doesn't speak fear. God's word doesn't speak defeat. God doesn't speak worry. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? So I keep saying, man, life, this is just so tough. This is where you understand the power of saying what you must say, the power of speaking the right words. Okay? So when you begin to say this, like, there's no job in this country. There's no job. Even if I tell you everywhere, no job there. Now, you are actually disengaging your angels from going to work. Because there are jobs in this country. And I tell you, I'm not just preaching. There are jobs. Amen. I know I have some of my, that's why some of you need to, your mind needs to be expanded. I have some of my daughters, some of my sons, like I do from school, and keep saying, well, I'm going to get a work. I'm going to get a job in a multinational. I'm going to work in a multinational. They keep saying those things. I'm going to work in a multinational. Somebody is saying there are no jobs. There are multinationals. Of course, many of them are living in Nigeria, but some people are staying here. Some are even working remotely from Nigeria. For big multinationals, and what I would say, what are multinationals? If you work there, you will know why they are multinationals. There are people who are in the same street of this Enugu who are earning $5,000 every month, $7,000 every month, working with a certificate. But before you even graduated, they've announced that school is camp. So you've told all your angels, you go to rest. You get the point? Over this matter, leave it. Nobody's getting any job. And the things you keep saying, angels are going to work on them. Not the thing, as angels walk and hearken to the voice of the word of God, demons do the opposite. So every time you are saying things like, there is no job, one demon is around you saying, yes sir, yes sir. There is no job and there will never be job. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me, friends? That's why you cannot be a careless speaker. I've shown you talents, passivity, words of fear, thoughts of that. Let me, if this particular one, fear. Fear. When you're always speaking words born out of fear, you are hindering angels from walking. That's why check your Bible. Every time an angel appears to anybody, the first thing they say is fear not. Because fear hinders angelic activity to the last. When you begin to speak, voice your fear. And I've said this to you many times. Many things you are afraid of will not happen. Many things you are afraid of. In fact, 95% of your fears will not happen. Have you not noticed? Think again. Look back. Look at the things you are afraid of 3 years ago. I get the point. Fear has one assignment. That is to cripple you, to weaken you, to make you not act. So what if I start this business and nobody comes to buy? What if you start and people start buying? I feel what I'm saying. Because you just become afraid and you just make angels to stay and watch. And you begin to speak out of fear. Now, listen, you can feel fear. We are all human beings. Thoughts of fear can drop in your heart every now and then. Does that happen to you? Happens to everybody. But don't take that thought. And most importantly, don't voice that thought. And don't act on it. What did I say? Don't take the thought. Don't voice it and don't act on it. Don't do that. Don't take steps because you're afraid. Don't refuse to take steps because you're afraid. Don't say things because you are born out of fear. Don't do that. How was Job's home invaded? He said, what I feared the most has come upon me. So if the guy kept acting and speaking out of fear, when it was time for the devil to tempt him, he knew what to do. He just went to the place he was already afraid of and acted on that. Your fears will not happen. So when they come, don't say them. Don't voice them. What if you get married now and there will be no children? Who knows? Because since we are playing against satanic patterns, one reason why patterns persist in families is because the people that are younger in that family have seen that pattern, have accepted the pattern, and they're even expecting that pattern in their own lives. So is it someone that all the siblings have not gotten married, 30, 35, six of them, even someone throwing in her heart is already accepting it. You know, saying, God forbid, it will not be me in Jesus' name. God forbid. Something in her is convinced her that you will not get married. She's expecting it. And then she's in one relationship. Once the guy wakes up one day and says, I don't think I'm interested again, I might say, it's true. That's how it is. Everybody, that's how it happens in our house. Once they say they love us, the next thing they say they don't want again. You know, she has accepted that the pattern is coming. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So he just accepts that devil has the free will to come and walk in his life. I get what I'm talking about, friends. So those patterns, for instance, there's a pattern where people always die at 50. People always die at 55. The guy is approaching 54, 55, and he becomes sick. Hey, they've come from you. He will not be saying that things you say that are not even faith-filled words. That is, God forbid. God forbid. God forbid is not faith. God forbid is that you've accepted the thing. Just say, you say, God forbid, God forbid. He's saying, God forbid, the announcer is writing his will. It's not like I'm planning to die, but you know we can die anytime. I get what I'm saying. So don't accept fear. Don't voice the fear. Don't take the thoughts. Thoughts of fear will come. Because the devil will always make suggestions for you. What if? What if you get on that road now and this happens? What if you start this place and this happens? What if you get to the village now and they poison you? What if... What, he's just dropping those thoughts here and there to see if you will take them and begin to voice them. And once you begin to do that, you're already hindering angelic ministry around you and empowering demons to run riot around your life. That's why every serious Christian minds what he says. Anyone that is loose with his words is an unserious Christian. So all this, let's be real. No. Reality is God's word. Are you learning something? Talk to me. Are you learning something? Are you getting blessed? That's why you must speak the word. I'll give some instructions. Speak the word. What I mean by speak the word? Number one, you must speak the written word. Speak the written word. What I mean by that is this. Get to the Bible. Find out what God said concerning whatever situation you are into. And begin to speak it. If you read the Bible, and the Bible says, that my God shall supply all my needs. Begin to speak it. If you begin to speak from the written word, angel, you are giving angels something to work with. I'm telling you why we are surrounded by an innumerable company of angels, yet most times we live like paupers. Because we've not learned how to engage. Are you still here? Speak. That's why, Brother Andrew, you put it this way. Find scriptures that cover your case. That instruction is still very powerful forever. Find scriptures that cover your case. Again, that's why you must know the Bible. So I can even know the scriptures that cover your case. Do you even know scriptures at all? That's why if you don't have a Bible, go buy a Bible this week. It's not expensive. Buy it. Because that Bible on your phone, you've not been reading it. Every time you open it, the next time you're on WhatsApp, you're on Facebook. Go and buy a Bible. Touch your neighbor. Neighbor. Brother. Sister. Go and buy a Bible. And read it. Amen. What did the Bible say about your health? What did the Bible say about your marriage? What did the Bible say about your children? Do you know there is actually nothing that is going on around you that God's word does not have been predicted on? The Bible said your children shall be taught of the Lord. So you see your kids misbehaving. You hold on to that, begin to speak over them. Not, oh, this child, very stupid child. You will not, I did not kill my mother, you will not kill me. No. That's when he says, this child, you shall be taught of the Lord. My sons and daughters have for signs and wonders. I get to the point. You will not bring me back heartbreak. In the name of Jesus. You are saying those things. You are speaking. You are giving angels. Do you know, when Jesus rose from the dead. Listen. When Jesus rose from the dead. I think that's John chapter 20. The women came to his tomb. And they met, now listen to this, I've touched on this many times. They met two angels sitting there. And they asked them, who are you looking for? Give me John 20 quickly. I want to read that. I don't want to say it from my head. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. Have you found it? So they said to you, angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when, this is not John that recorded this, because in this John's account, Jesus appeared. Glory to God. Let me check my notes, so I can show you exactly what I'm saying. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew, yes, Matthew 28, not John's account. Matthew 28, start from verse 4. From verse 4. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. What happened? Go to verse 3 so that you see where we are going to come into. Verse 3. Quickly, verse 3. Like drop back to verse 3. That's what I mean. Go to verse 2. Glory to God. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that, watch this, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. So those angels came to carry out that activity around that tomb because the man has been saying he will rise. He is risen as he said. So way before Jesus died, he has always been saying, I will die, I will rise. I will die, I will rise. So when he died, angels went to work with those words. That's why you must know, what did the Bible say concerning you? What did the Bible say concerning your studies? What did God's word say concerning your health? What did it say concerning your finance? How much of God's word are you speaking? Because some of you say this like, sir, I'm not going to take drugs. That if you're not going to take drugs, you better be taking something else. And that thing you must be taking must be God's word. Every day, what did God's word say about your health? He is risen. As he said. See, NLT, another translation, New Living Translation, he's risen as he said. NLT, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. So angels just responded to what Jesus was saying. So Jesus didn't live all his life, just died and expected to come back to life. He's been saying, tear down this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. He kept talking. Are you following me? Put up like Amplify Classic, another one. Glory to God. He said, he's not here. He has risen as he said he will do. Message. As he said he will do. He's not here. He was raised just as he said. All of them recorded it. I'm trying to show you. He actually said he will rise. So he did not rise just because God was excited and wanted to raise him. Yes, God wanted to raise him, but he himself said that he will rise. So So there should be things like, have you met Brother Miracle? Say yes. He's now a rich man, as he has been saying. You get the point? Because I tell you, your life is an aggregate of the things you've been saying concerning yourself. Because at the end of the day, it is the things. That's why it is the things that angels have been hearing, that you'll be saying that angels will work on. That's why anything that wants to shut your mouth or wants to make you say the wrong thing is actually after your destiny. I get the point. That's why, again, depression is a very bad thing. Because the first thing depression does is to make you keep quiet. Have you observed? Depression will always quiet, lying down on their bed. All of that is an attack of the devil to make sure you're not saying anything. So I say first, you must speak the written word. And let me lose with what I'm going to say now. This is not the right way to use it, but I'm just going to use it. You must also speak the Rema word. When did I teach on all this Rema thing? You understand why I said, let's just use it loosely. Because what people say about Rema is actually what it is. But let's just use it. What do I mean by that? You must speak first what God said about your case in the Bible. Then you must also speak the words that God drops in your spirit. So you are praying over a matter. Your fees are not paid. God now gives you a word. You must keep saying those things. These are the two things. Hear what I'm going to say. These are the two things that angels work with. God's word. Either the words from God's, from the Bible, or the words that God drops in your spirit. Or maybe the words a man of God gives you, but the written word and rhema word. Where you get those words? Because I'm telling you, I'm not teaching positive confession. Positive confession just makes you feel good. It doesn't change nothing. Angels don't respond to positive confessions. They respond to the voice of the word of God. Are you following what I'm talking about here, friends? So when you get those words from God, from the word of God, or you get them from God, things God has dropped to your spirit, and you begin to voice them, you are giving these beings things to work with. Because they don't answer to you, they answer to God. So they will only respond when what you are saying is what God has said. Are you guys following what I'm talking about this evening? What God has said. So you begin to speak God's word. So you're praying over a matter and God said this is what is going to happen. You begin to say it. That's why I said to many of you, your first response to impartation and prophetic words spoken over you is not picture. It's not posting it on Facebook. Your first, because people do a lot of crazy things today. I went to him to pray for him and he prayed for me. As I'm leaving that place, I'm posting it immediately. Woo! What a time with Bishop. My life has seen. Your life has not yet changed. Your life is about to change. Your first response is those things that he has said. Begin to re-say them. Because when the word comes to your spirit, it's not to go and post it on Facebook first. Speak. I come and I announce to you, oh, this year, this is going to happen. This month is a month of this. Hold it and begin to speak those words. Because the words that I say doesn't mean it will happen to you automatically. They hearken to the voice of the word of God. Do you have a tongue? Use it. Are you following me, everybody? Use it if you have it. So, first of all, know what God said about your case in the Bible. Secondly, that's why when there's a matter, go to prayer. Some of you prayed yesterday, God dropped a word in your spirit about your family. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Amen. Neglect not, 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in you, that came unto you by prophecy, by the laying on of my hands. Or hands of the presbytery. Which was given. So, hence you are laid on Timothy. Paul is saying, don't forget those prophecies words. So, those words of utterance spoken unto you, don't neglect them. How do you neglect them? To forget them. That's why some heavy petitions that you received in January, you can't even remember anything that was said. You can't remember anything. The things God told you 2 months ago, you can't remember anything. How do you expect that this, because you're no longer saying nothing. I keep telling you, I strongly believe that the reason why God changed Abraham's name to Abraham was to make him keep saying it. Because Abraham means father of many nations. So every time he said, what's your name? My name is Abraham. So he was echoing the word of God every time he called his name. Are you what I'm talking about here? Let me even digress to say, that is how to name your kids. Don't name your kids out of circumstances. Amen. That's one mistake some of them made in the Bible days. You know when they gave birth to Benjamin, the mother died giving birth to them, then Benoni. They gave birth to Jabez. They gave it one terrible name, Jabez, because I bore him out of sorrow. That's not how to name your kids. What to do when your wife is pregnant or when you're pregnant is to go to the place of prayer and let God tell you something. He may not literally tell you, this is what this child should be. But he may tell you something about that child. From there you can give whatever name. That every time you announce that child's name, you are speaking prophetically over his life. I have some of you, I'm going to tell some of you that your parents gave names that are heavy. Don't truncate your destiny by answering it in a Gen Z way. You get what I'm talking about? Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I say what I want to say. Oh, glory to God. Well, the names that your parents gave you that actually have very heavy meaning. They may not know much, but that's what came to their spirit most times when they came back to you. But now you want to answer Gen Z name. You are just answering rubbish. Something in my mind. I'm just fighting hard to say. No, I'm not going to say it in Jesus' name. God, thank you for self-control. I'm not going to say it. Glory to God. But help yourself. You know, say Abraham. Every time I say, my name is Abraham. So what are you saying? What has God said concerning you? What has he said concerning your finances? Say, that's why you must have speaking sessions. You must have talking sessions in your house. Two things I'm going to say. Have talking sessions. Or let me say three things. One, have prayer sessions. When you pray over what God has said to you, have talking sessions where you just stand and you are talking. In the name of Jesus, things that God has said to me will come to pass. This month, this is happening. This is how my life will be. You are saying those things. Then totally make sure you inculcate the right words, even in your daily conversation. So number one, I said prayer sessions, talking sessions. Then in your conversation, don't be someone that in your prayer, you in your conversation, you say, oh, my life is getting blessed. And then in your conversation, you say, how is it going? You say, now, wow. As I'm talking to you, life is hard. So what should the angels work with? Or they just pick the right one and leave the other one? So, talking sessions, prayer sessions, and then your daily conversations. Now, sir, what if I forget and start talking rubbish? Anytime you catch yourself talking rubbish, change it. Sometimes I'm so overwhelmed, I'm just saying, say, how will things say, Jesus Christ? Is this how we are going to die? You know, my spiritual father is someone that is actually very deliberate about this, I'm telling you. There are things that you say is normal. Don't even use them in his conversations. My dad, you never hear him say things like, that place far die. You see, the place far die. Or I'm dead serious. He says it's not going to include death in his conversation. Rather, I'm very serious. Something you're saying. That's what I'm saying. Because that place far die. That place, I'm dead serious. Why not say you are very serious? Are you very serious? Not dead serious. That's what I'm saying. Be very, now you might say, oh, that's extreme. Be intentional. That is someone's intentionality to make sure that he doesn't begin to converse in a very crazy way that limits his own life. You can't be trusting God for long life and you're always speaking death. Always speaking death. That's why I can say this to you. If you're traveling on the highway, don't be traveling and you're discussing accidents. Have you seen that kind of thing in the vehicle? The first time I was ever involved in an accident, the first time and the only time that will ever be, this was the case. One woman had stories of over 13 accidents that have happened in the world. And he was telling us all of them. See, I just let pass Ifunka or Tombolo. She one by one. Until eventually we had accidents on that. He said, I said it, though. I was so pissed. Because with her words, she had so noticed, you know, the more they kept, you know, words are seeds. So she kept planting that seed of fear in everybody. I came out unharmed anyway. In fact, when it happened, the people that would have actually been hurt were her kids. She was with 3 kids. So I was really left the car. I was angry. Say, don't use your mouth. Talk rubbish. So, but I saw the kids. Somebody has joined. I was one that actually went to. I have the love of God. So I was questioned. My children. I said, don't worry, madam. I went to help carry them out before the car finally fell off and all of that. But all I'm trying to tell you is that things you don't entertain in your conversation. What of talking about life? What of talking about safety? You get the point? You can say how things really are without bringing terrible things upon yourself. I know you don't have a job now. Have you gotten a job yet? Well, say things like, well, not yet. In fact, saying not yet already is saying I'm expecting something. Not yet, but things are going to work out. Don't say, well, I've not gotten a job, but where do you even see a job in this country? It is just so bad. So bad. Where do you want to get it? Who is even giving you a job? After all of this, send that application. Your words have followed the application. To make sure that nobody will even see the application. Nobody will notice you. But not me. Glory to God. So you speak. Let me speak. Now, I'll give you 3 things I'm going to say about confession. Then tomorrow I'll see what I will do more. Have you been blessed? So I'll still speak the word and all of that. Let me say these 3 things. Don't forget. Speak ahead of time. First, how does confession work? Number one, speak ahead of time. Speak ahead of time. Don't always wait for a situation to arise before you start speaking God's word. Speak ahead of time. So you look at Jesus before he ever went to the cross. He was already saved. So you see, he is not here. He is risen, as he said, speak ahead of time. Speak ahead of time. You are not yet married, but what are you saying about your marriage? You are still a student. What are you saying? What will happen after school? I get what I'm saying. That's why you notice once you enter December now, I was telling you, but don't miss service in December. I was telling you to pray concerning next year. Have you observed that? And then it's always over. I begin to pray some very serious prayers over next year. That thing is the prayer. That's how to make things work. Speak and pray ahead of time. It's called preemptive prayers. Preemptive confessions. Before those things come, you are speaking ahead of time. You get the point? They told Jesus that Lazarus was sick. The first thing he said was, this sickness is not unto death. Are you following the point? They finally came and told, so even before Lazarus died, he was already speaking. They finally came and told him that Lazarus has died. He told them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him. So before he even got to Lazarus' tomb, the guy was already talking and fixing things. I know what I'm talking about. So disciples didn't understand him. He told them, okay, let me tell you clearly, Lazarus is dead, but we're going to wake him up. And to show you foolishness, that John 11, what did Thomas say when he heard Lazarus is dead? He said, let us also go that we may die with him. That's the difference between a mature Christian and a baby Christian. And by that statement, he meant, let's go and mourn. Let's go, you know, and sympathize with them. Jesus got to that place. Mary or Martha came first and told him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. He told him, if you believe, you will see the power of God and your brother will rise again. And that one said, yes, I believe. I know he will rise again in the resurrection morning. He told him, I am the resurrection and the life. I know what I'm saying. I'm telling you that this guy is going to rise. I'm telling you resurrection morning. Resurrection is here. Are you following what I'm saying? Everybody that met him after this, he kept saying the same thing. So when he finally got to Lazarus' tomb, he just said, Lazarus, comfort. Look at what he said. When he came to Lazarus' tomb, the first thing he said was, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. In other words, I've been praying, I've been speaking long before I came here. Are you guys what I'm talking about? He now said, Lazarus, comfort. So it was a coming together for all the words he has been speaking all the while that came to work then to make sure that none of them failed. You must speak ahead of time. Speak ahead of time. What are you saying about December? What are you saying about next year? That business you are yet to start, what are you saying about it? That family that is about to start, what are you saying about that family? What are you saying about your health?
Or is it until you fall sick that you now start saying, I'm healed in Jesus' name? What of before you are ever sick? You start saying, I cannot be sick. No sickness stands in this body. The life of God is working in me. I will never break down. That is you say. That is you say. Even before you ever sick. Before you ever fall sick. Before you ever fall sick. How will your pregnancy be when you are married and you are pregnant? Falling sick every minute. Acting Nigerian film. And slapping your horse's hand. Waking up in the midnight to say, I want to eat burnt rice and burnt beans. Is that how troublesome you want to be? What are you saying? That is a blessing upon women. That's a blessing. Because Genesis chapter 3, where God said to the woman, that from now you will bring forth children in pain. It was a curse that came as a result of the fall of man. Now we are no longer under that fall. So there should be something different about you. But it will not happen automatically. What are you saying? What are you saying about your finance? Learn to speak ahead of time. Speak ahead of time. How will your finance be next year? Next year. Next year. Because when you speak ahead of time for long, you are even beginning to believe what you are saying before they come. How will your finance be next year? How will your health be next year? How will your family be next year? How will your kids be next year? Your kids are young now. How will their destiny be when they grow? Before they are born, what are you saying? You will stand in the ministry. You will serve the Lord. So by the time the child is growing up, there is so much that have gone ahead of him. Because words have been spoken. Spiritual laws have gone into motion, which at this time cannot be reversed. There is a way you speak so much that nothing can. You know, you speak so much that even if somebody stands and look at your child to say, you are cursed, there is so much blessing that have gone ahead of that child. So learn to speak ahead. Speak ahead. So when I said you speak ahead, speak ahead of time. Then speak also in the face of the situation. So because you've spoken ahead, doesn't mean that when there is an issue, you now keep quiet. Speak ahead of the situation. Then speak. She just told them, if you shall say to this mountain, meaning you are not standing in front of the mountain, speak. So I've been speaking over my health. Because you think that because they're speaking, the devil will not try. You know he will. So your health now goes back. In the name of Jesus, thank you. Because healing is working in my body now. So I command you, foul devil. You know, when you are speaking, hear what I'm going to say. When you're speaking ahead, you're just voicing the word of God. When there's a situation, you cannot use that word of God if you're speaking to address that situation. So way before your exam has come, you're already confessing. Way before it comes, I will read. I have strength to read. I have ability to understand. I have ability to write, to pen down. And I pen down what I'm writing excellently. And I'm coming out long before. Now, when the exam finally comes, you're speaking. When you enter the exam hall and plus everything you've said, you are still not seeing. We just wrote, you know, I finished this on my exam, and you know that even if you mark this exam, you're going to fail. And when that happens, that's also going to uphold that confession in the face of that situation. I get to the point. So you speak in the face of the situation. Then number 13, I'm going to tell about confession, is you must be consistent and insistent with your confessions. Be consistent and insistent. What I mean is, you say it all the time, and you say it stubbornly. The faith of God is always stubborn. Don't ask me things like, how long am I going to say this before it changes? That's the major problem you have. You should actually say it till you die, even after it changes. So don't stop asking that question. So, sir, when am I going to start speaking over my health? Every day. what I wanted to tell you, what I wanted to delve into film with this closing time, but I don't think we have the time. I wanted to show you certain areas that your confession should cover. I wanted to show you like 7 areas, but I don't think we have the time for that. But be consistent and insistent. Don't speak over your health today and then abandon it. Don't speak over your marriage today and abandon it. Don't say what God has put in your spirit today and then abandon it tomorrow. God says, oh, your life is going to change. We are going. You know, some of you, the reason these things, I give you prophetic words or even get them from God and then you just keep quiet about them. Or you say them and you leave them. Don't do that. Elijah, I've told you this many times, Elijah was praying for rain to fall in 1 Kings chapter 18. He prayed once and told the servant, go and look. The servant said, I saw nothing. It is at that point of I saw nothing that many believers stopped talking. Elijah prayed and said, go and look again. He said, I saw nothing. He told him, keep going for 7 times. Now, this is not the time to start saying 7 is the number of perfection. That's not what it means. It just means that guy kept going until he saw the result. You know, I put this on Facebook. Remember, before Elijah told him to go and check, 1 Kings 18, he announced, I hear. He said, go and tell Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Do you remember that? I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Many people, when they hear the sound, I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost now. When they hear the sound of abundance of rain, they start dancing. Woo, rain is here. Then they go, begin to bring their umbrella, begin to bring their tank, open their tank to fetch. That's what Elijah did. Elijah said, told Ahab, I hear the sound. So actually in the spirit, he has heard a sound. But when you hear the sound of abundance of rain, look at that, that's 1 Kings 18 verse 41. Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. But the sound of abundance of rain is not rain. You hear the sound of wealth. That's not wealth yet. You hear the sound of supply. That's not supply yet. The Lord has told you I'm going to do this. It is not happening yet. Is someone following what I'm talking about, friends? Now see the next verse. When you heard the sound, verse 42 now. Glory to God. I went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face. So you knew the sound was calling for prayer. So when God tells you this is going to happen, now you don't just say, oh, glory to God. After all of that, you go back and stay with those words consistently and insistently. This is going to happen. In my lifetime, I'm going to experience this. He did that. And I told the servant to go and check. Go and check. So he still went to check 7 times, even though he said he had heard the sound of rain. So when there is a sound that comes up in your spirit, man, don't just celebrate and lie down and say, I'm looking and go for it to happen. Your words now. Your words now. My life is changing. The same way God spoke to me. So what was Elijah doing when he was praying for those 7 times? He was speaking God's word. What did God tell him? Rain is coming. In the name of Jesus, Father, now we receive this rain. We receive this rain. Go and check. Nothing. I stayed there. You know why you are doing that? It is not God that is trying to convince. God has given his word. God has agreed. There might be forces trying to fight that thing. But you stay in prayer. You know what was happening? Angels will be walking. Doing things. Putting 2 and 2 together to make sure that what God has said will happen. So be consistent and insistent with your words. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Jesus touched a man that was blind and asked the man, do you see anything? The man said, yes, I see, but I see men as trees. He said, come back. He touched him a second time. Now, if the man had said the second time, I don't see anything again, he would have touched him a third time. I see small. Touch him a first time. That has to deal with your cases. Consistent. Insistent. Some of you have to develop your confession. When God speaks to you, write it. Keep it. But don't just write it. Listen to me. Listen to this. Writing your confession is not the same thing as confessing your confession. Instead of you coming to Facebook to your status to write, angels are working for me. Say it. It's after you say that you write. Because even the Bible you read was first spoken before it was written. Is what I'm talking about here? Don't just go on your note and write all those, my life is changing. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I don't write all those things. You write so that you can speak. So you speak, you write then so that you can keep speaking it. So I gave you 50 days of declaring gospel so that you can have something to say. I know what I'm talking about. So go on Facebook and write, oh, things are changing for me. Say it. And just hearken to the voice of the word of God. Say it. Say it every day. Let it be that every time you're writing on those, you're writing on your status that you've spoken. Because those things that you're writing on your status are not actually for your audience. They are for you. So why are you writing them? You've not said them. And what drops your spirit and you go and write on your status? What of speaking over yourself? What of doing with it what you should actually do with it? Making war with it. My life is changing. My health is falling in place. It is in your mouth that it works. So you stay consistent. You stay consistent. Even when nothing is happening yet. I'm trusting God for a house. I want to rent a house. I want to build a house. Years, months before that, you're just speaking. My house is here. I'm going to, you pray, God can even give you a word about it. You keep speaking. You keep praying. You keep speaking. My house is here. The house God has ordained for me. My 3-bedroom flat with everything in it. You're speaking every day, every day. You keep saying it. What is happening? Things are being arranged. I told you guys the story of how I found a house. I spoke for more than a year. Because I wanted to move out of where I was staying. And then the Lord said no. Stay, I actually gone to look for a house. Came back when the Lord said, there's no point. Stay for an extra year. I said, okay, that's why I told you about this written word and the rhema word. What God has stood in your spirit. So I stayed, and throughout that year I was praying. If it was that last year that I stayed back, that all hell was let loose in that particular environment, they were buckling my house. I was asking the Lord, but you said I should stay. You get the point. So, but I kept speaking. My house is here. My house is here. My house is here. And I've been saying it. My house is here. My house is here. I've been describing that kind of house for long. It's here. And this is just to say to you. Did I actually went house hunting for the last time of house hunting? Because that will be my last time ever. Did I say it? Ever. I'm not doing that thing with you guys again. I have a portion in this land. I'm just saying. So the last time I ever went to house hunting. That day I stepped out. I went out one day. I found the house that day. That day. You get what I'm saying? You know why? A very long time. Words have gone ahead. Yes. Words have gone ahead. And it's in everything. You want to buy a property. Be speaking. Amen. I'm already speaking for instance about our property as a church now. And it's been on my mind. I'm just saying it. Our land is coming. And the day we'll be ready, we'll just step out and we'll go and see it. Words have gone ahead. Words have gone ahead. Be deliberate with your life because indeed there are angels willing to walk. And they just want you, they're banking on one thing, that you will talk. That you will not keep quiet. That you will not keep quiet. Even if things are bad and you are sad, be talking. In tears, be talking. Frustrated, talk. Depressed, say something. Because you find out again that once you begin to say those things that you must say, before anything begins to change even with the situation, something begins to change on your inside. Your hope begins to rise. What's happened to you, anybody? Your hope begins to rise. Faith begins to rise. Your spirit gets lifted. Before it even affects any situation. So that you are done talking, nothing has changed on the outside, but on the inside, they are very happy. What's happened to you, everybody? You don't have to worry. You know that song? And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Trouble day. For there is a friend in Jesus. We wipe your tears away. Woo. And if your heart is broken, just
lift your hands and say,
I know
that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in you.
I know that I can make it.
I know that I can make it.
Come on, sing it like the Lord and say,
I know that I can stand.
No matter what, no
matter what may come my way,
my life is in your hands. Come on,
my life is in your hands.
With Jesus I can make it.
With Jesus I can make it.
With him I know I can stand.
With him I can stand.
No matter what, no matter what,
they come my way.
My life is in your hands, come on.
My life is in your hands.
With Jesus I can make it. With
Jesus I can make it.
Come on, sing like what you're saying, come on.
With him I know I can stand.
No matter what,
no matter what, my life is in your hands.
This is how we actually win. Write down this as you're standing. I don't know if I'm going back to this mat again, so let me just write these things down. Areas that you must speak over consistently. 1, your health. Not in any order, because if you follow any particular order, the first one should have been the second, I will say. But anyway, 1, your health. There are many things you can say over your health. 3 John verse 2 says, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as also prospereth. Psalm 107 and verse 20, he sent his word and healed their disease. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 to 22. Glory to God. It says their word, his word is, so Proverbs chapter 4, not chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. Hallelujah. Say, for thy life, verse 20 said, my son, hearken to my word, incline thy ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy heart, or your eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. Verse 22 said, for they are life unto those that find them, are health to their flesh. So your health. Another area, for instance, you must confess over, you must speak over and about your new creation realities, new creation status. What has God said concerning you in Christ? I'm righteous, I'm blessed, I'm forgiving, I'm completing him. All those God has said about you in Christ, you must speak over them consistently. Then you must speak over your finance too. Your finance, your business, your financial status. You must speak over them again and again. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11 gives us a few things to say. Deuteronomy 28 verse 11, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Verse 12, he says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee rain unto thy land in season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Things you can actually say concerning yourself. Okay, many scriptures. Proverbs 10 verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. So these are different things you can say concerning your finance. You can go on and on. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. Hallelujah. And with the Living Translation, it said the Lord will build up. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. God will generously provide all you need. Can you have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others? These are words you can speak over your finance. And the Lord, I have plenty of them in my notes. Do you understand? Deuteronomy 8 verse 17. I have many of them in my notes. Many of them. Thou, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this word. Verse 18. What did it say? You shall remember
the Lord your God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. So you might keep saying, the Lord gives me power to get wealth. He gives me power to get wealth. There are things you can say over your finance. So your finance, then you can also speak over your relationships. Your relationships. Your relationships. That, and your family. Relationship with family. You can pray over your friend, pray over your, speak over your children. Speak over your friend, speak over your father, speak over your mother, speak over your kids, speak over your spouse. Hallelujah. All of this. Amen. Yes. Speak over your health and all of that. In Isaiah 54 and verse 13. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. It said, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. There are things you can bore with. You get the point? My children are taught of the Lord. Great is their peace. Glory to God. So you speak those words. Oh, glory to God. You can also speak over your safety. Because of our time. Your safety, your security, your deliverance, your protection. Speak over those things. Your safety. There are many things. Psalm 91 is a full book on its own. On security and safety. Jeremiah 15 verse 20. A lot of things the Lord has said concerning your security. Jeremiah 15 and verse 20. And I will make thee unto these people a fenced prison wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to deliver thee, and to save thee and to deliver thee, said the Lord. Verse 21. He said, and I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. That's God talking about me. So don't have to be in trouble before you begin to speak. And speak these words again and again. Okay? I've already shown you Psalm 68, verse 19 and 20. Where the Bible says that to the Lord belongeth the issues of death. Look at that. It says, blessed be the Lord, who delivered us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Verse 20, he said, He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. NLC says, talks about the fact that this is deliverance. He said, praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day He carried us in His arms. Verse 20, everybody, let's read together, everybody. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. You get what I'm saying? Long before I say, oh, God preserves me from death. You can say it so much that even when you are standing before death, you cannot die. So actually, I have a note that has all these areas and different things God has said, scriptures like that. Be an intentional Christian. I know what I'm talking about. Be an intentional Christian. Because this thing I'm giving, I didn't make this note now. I just went to my notes to pull it out. I feel what I'm saying. Be an intentional Christian. Speak over your... Okay, there's also some 127. It's good you write that one too. Speak over your general success. Success generally. Because there have been many areas. Your studies. Every area. That your general success in whatever you do. Whatever you do. No, so Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. You know, when I told you to speak over your relationships, you can also, on that relationship, you can also speak over the favor of God upon your life as you relate with people. Because that speaking over your relationship can help. You can say, as I relate with people, I'm favored of men. It's still on that relationship. Now, Proverbs 16 verse 3 said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So you can speak over your general success. Father, as I go forth, I commit this work I'm about to do into your hands. I know you shall establish all that is in my heart. Now, this verse is very powerful. He said, thy thoughts. In other words, all those hidden desires you have, I want to make first class. I want to buy. He said, your thoughts shall be established if you commit them to the Lord. I get what I'm saying. So you can speak over your general success and well-being. 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even as I so prosperous. General well-being. Success. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 6. You can speak over your success generally. Say, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest. All those blessed, you can speak over your general success. As I come in, as I go out, whatever I touch is blessed. General success. If I put my hand in this business, it will do well. If I involve in this, it will do well. I said I was going to give you 7, right? How many have I given you now? I'll show you 6. Because I have 2 more. 3 more actually. Or 2 more. Let's do 2 more. I've given you 6 actually. Your health, new creation realities, finance, relationship with family, safety, success, general success. Speak over your ministry. Speak over your ministry. Over your ministry as a child of God. You're a minister as a child of God. As I go to win souls, I do well. I will rise to the fullness of my calling. I will rise to the fullness of my anointing in God. I get to the point. My children have thought of the Lord. The people that God has put under my care, I would they will be protected, they will be preserved. They will serve the Lord. I will win souls. Speak over your ministry. More men are coming into us. The men that God has given to me. Jesus spoke concerning this in the book of John. He said, they that the Father has given to me shall come to me. He was talking about salvation. You can speak it over yourself in ministry. And all that God has sent me to save, I will come in contact to them and I will be a blessing to them. In the name of Jesus, the gifts of God are gaining full expression in me. Speak about your ministry all the time. Because you're a minister. You get the point? You're a minister. Of course, the last one I'm going to say, I said I was going to give you eight, is speak over your future. I added this for a reason. Speak over your future. Speak over what will happen tomorrow. Speak over next year. Speak over next 10 years. Arrange next 10 years from today. I know, the Bible said, for I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of good and not of good, to give you an expected end. So I can speak over next 10 years. I can speak over next 20 years. I can speak at the future of my children. But these are areas, you can add more. But these are areas that I do a lot of confession on. These things I just gave you. Add more. But your confession must touch these areas. I feel what I'm talking about. Must touch these areas. And this almost covers everything in your life. Yeah. What is missing? Eh? It covers almost everything. But there could be more. But then, this covers almost everything. So you have those scriptures. Make out and have talking sessions. Speak them. Amen. So as now, do you know why I gave you this? Why I'm doing what I'm doing? So that any area of life you're actually silent about, you're actually disengaging angels from that area. Just leave this area for me. I can handle it. Don't do that. Speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. General success. Do you know, even as you want to start learning how to code, you want to start learning keyboard, you can begin to declare. I learn quickly. I have the wisdom of God. And by the wisdom of God, I grab things faster. I know God can bless you with that stuff. But you grab things very quickly. Amen. Are you blessed today? Take 3 minutes, pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to lead you to make a confession now, but pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. 3 minutes, or 2 minutes actually. Pray. We on top of your voice, come on. Angels are working for me. Say this verse with me. It's from Primitive of Declaring God's Word. I love this day, day 49. So lift your hands all over this place. Let's speak. You don't have to open it. Just speak with me. I'm going to lead you to speak those words. Things will change. No, I'm not. You're not speaking yet. I'm just telling you that things will change. Hallelujah. Things will be better. There are some of you, you know, somebody wrote to me recently that she was diagnosed with a sickness and all of that. So, and when she was praying in this status of light, the Lord put it in her heart to use this particular document throughout 50 days and see things change and obey it. You can pick it and you're just speaking. Sometimes take it like paracetamol, 2 tablets in the morning. Bring one, go over it. Now, I can be a bit ritualistic when I deal with things like that. I can take one day and speak it like 3 times over my life in the morning. 3 times in the night, the next day, for 50 days, just speaking God's word back to back. Because these things are both from God's word and they are also rhema words. How many remember how we came about these documents? I led us to declare God's word for 50 days. Remember that time? I'll just gather us online then, and I'll begin to speak by the Spirit. And everybody, remember, on WhatsApp then, I'll pen those things down on WhatsApp, and then that's how somebody, I wasn't the one that wrote this. Someone took time and compiled all those things that were writing those things and then put them into these documents. Thoughtfulness anyway. And it's been a major blessing. I have confessions like that. Amen. So let me say, I create by my words. I thought you were going to shout today. Do you want to say, do it again? So I create by my words. I do not accept whatever life throws at me. I dictate what I want out of life. I am anointed to create. I am intentional about my words, and I see them work for me. I create my future to be what I want it to be. The next season of my life is better than the last season. I am making progress. I am not ending small. I am not ending small. Everything falls in place for me. I release spirit-filled words, creating the future I desire. So I release spirit-filled words, creating the future I desire. Glory to God. That's your reality. So take time and speak like that. And don't speak under your breath. Faith is bold. The Greek, the word for that in the Greek is called parrhesia. What it actually means is unfettered outspokenness. Unfettered outspokenness. It's not my life is saying. That's why shut your door. Roar! Say it. Sometimes you say it so much that it blocks your own ear, because sometimes your ear needs to be blocked. But there is so much negative influence all over the place. Hallelujah. Are you making progress? But don't tell me yes, sir. Are you making progress? Don't say yes, sir. Are you making progress? Are you making progress? Is your life changing? Is your life changing? Is God's word working for you? Is God's word working for you? Is God changing your life? Is God lifting you up? Is your health getting better? Is your finance changing? Glory to God! Hallelujah! So don't say yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Say it. Say what you hear. Say what God has said. Say what God has said. Are you closing that business deal? Are you succeeding in everything you do? Are you living a long life? Are you living long? Are you living strong? Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm making progress. I'm making progress. Glory to God. The avengers working for you. The avengers working for you. In the different of the ways, we are going to know whether you came for these status of light. When we ask questions in church, when I say yes, sir, no, it's not yes, I will respond. Did you get blessed today? That's how we respond. Were you blessed? I was blessed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Walk up to three persons. Tell them God's word is working for me. Tell them God's word is working for me. God's word is working for me. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Let's give God praise. Give God praise. Woo, glory. Night and day I only think of God's goodness. I sleep on God's word. I wake up to God's word. He said I'm blessed, so I live like a blessed man. He said I'm so I walk like a free man. He said I'm broke, so I went there to fix that.
He said, I'm healed, so I'll never fail.
He said, I'm blessed.
He said, I'm blessed, so I walk like a blessed.
He said, I'm free.
He said, I'm free,
so I
walk like a free.
He said, I'm bold.
He said, I'm bold, so I stand tall to faith.
He said, I'm healed.
He said, I'm healed, so I'll never fail.
He said, I'm blessed.
He said, I'm blessed, so I live like a blessed.
He said, I'm free.
He said, I'm free, so I walk like a free.
He said, I'm bold.
He said, I'm bold, so I stand tall to faith.
He said, I'm healed.
He said, I'm healed, I will never stay down.
Aya.
Give me perfect peace only.
Yes.
Night and day I only think on God's goodness. I sleep on God, but I wake up to God's word.
Take 2 more minutes.
Perfect peace always.
Night and day I only think on God's goodness. I sleep on God's word, I wake up to God.
He said I'm blessed.
He said I'm blessed,
so I live like a blessed man.
He said I'm free, so I walk like a free man.
He said I'm bold, so I stand tall to face life.
He said I'm healed, so I let up.
Who is up?
I found strength in the word of the Lord.
Hear about that song.
I found peace by the word God has spoken.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and better for me. So by natural strength he died.
Say, I found strength.
I found strength in the word of the Lord.
I found peace.
I found peace by the word of his prophet.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better and better for me. So my natural strength is my Lord.
Now one last time.
Say, I found strength.
I found strength in the word of the Lord.
I found peace.
I found peace by the word of his brother.
He said he gets better.
He said he gets better and better and better. Better for me.
Supernatural strength.
I found strength. Come on. October shall be the month of supernatural strength. Yes. Supernatural strength. God. Supernatural strength. Now that the Lord led me to this song, I didn't have it in my spirit before then. Supernatural strength is coming. I'm getting stronger. Are you getting stronger? Are you getting stronger? Are you getting stronger? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.